Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Gameable Audio, your podcast surrounding composers in video game music. This is episode 22. I am your host, Christopher Skenström, and this week, and also this month, Gameable Audio is going to focus on female composers. So for this week's special, we're going to focus on Akari Kaida, who is a Japanese female composer. And I'm just super excited for this. It's been amazing going through and researching her work and the games that she has been working on. I've been selecting four different tracks, and we're going to talk a little bit more about her in a chronological order. So let's start it out. So when it came to Akari Kaida, Akari was born in 1974, the 10th of January in Osaka, Japan. Already at the age of 5, Akari started playing the piano. She listened to Japanese pop music, rock, and other genres other people of her own age listened to when she was growing up. She attended to Osaka College of Music, and one thing she stood out for was her addiction to her 8-bit computer at home. It had an FM sound chip in which she actually used to play music with. And she was certain that she was the only girl at the time in her high school who really wanted an Amiga to create music with. And when it comes to Akari, she also graduated from Osaka College of Music in 1994 and started working at the Capcom sound team. And when she was so young, starting out here, it's just amazing to see that she comes into a studio that already at this point has quite a repertoire, a lot of different IPs, etc. So we're starting out this week with one of the first tracks that she worked on for her first game, starting out in video game music. So we're going to listen to Donovan Bane's Stage from The Night Warriors Dark Stalkers Revenge. There we fade out the first track of the week. This was The Night Warriors Dark Stalkers Revenge. This was Donovan Bane's Stage theme. And it is kind of interesting that she, as I told before, when she joins the Capcom sound team. When it comes to this specific game, the first work that she did, she actually composed all the different tracks surrounding this character. It was the stage theme, the winning theme, and the ending of 1 and 2. For this character. So looking at her first kind of credits here, she was credited on this soundtrack as Akari K. Lemon, and it has those small lines on the side. It's apparently very important, and of course this was released in the beginning on arcade. So when it comes to this soundtrack as well, she did not compose this all by herself. As I just said, it was only for this character, as she co-composed this together with the Japanese Takayuki Iwai and Hideki Okugawa. The game here was developed by the Japanese studio Capcom and was released on arcade in 1995. The game also was released later on the Sega Saturn in 1996, so the year after. The Japanese title of this game, however, is Vampire Hunter Darkstalkers Revenge, so it had a small little differentiation. Instead of Night Warriors, it's Vampire Hunter. I don't know if this is some sort of thing, because when we have the whole Castlevania thing with the Vampire Hunters and so on, I don't know if there's a like some sort of reference or like religious fantasy-styled reference or anything. A little bit unsure, but it's interesting to see that they chose that type of name. Anyway, when it comes to the arcade version here, it was actually unique to Japan, while the Saturn version was released all over the world, so this is one of the reasons why not so many might have heard of this game. I know a lot of us might recognize the Darkstalkers series, but maybe not the Night Warrior, which was the initial name for this game here in the West. So when it comes to this track, I don't know about you guys, but I really adored this one. Start out with something that felt kind of action-y. Of course, this is a stage theme for an action game. This is basically, for people that do not know Darkstalkers, it basically plays like a Street Fighter game, Killer Instinct, etc. It's a fighting game, one versus one, but instead of having fighters and so on, you have fighters that are more mystical. We have vampire hunters, we have werewolves, vampires, of course, and other monsters. A lot of us might know of the character Morrigan, the succubus that we've seen from time to time in different series and also different crossovers, etc. This is a character I think most of us gamers do know when we are thinking about this Darkstalker series. And when it comes to this track, for some reason, I don't know really, I'm pretty sure it was Konami that made it, but it had a really strong Super Nintendo, just to be specific, Contra or Probotector vibe to it. Don't know about you guys, if you agree or do not agree with me, but I, for one, when I was listening to this track over and over again, I really loved and adore the vibe of it. The melody was really neat and clean, but I really liked the full part of the song. I felt engaged, so to speak. But for some reason, I always had my mind drawn towards other games rather than staying. But for me, I'm not so well-versed when it comes to Darkstalkers. I played it a couple of times, but not a lot of times. So I'm not super, super known to the different characters of this series. And I, for one, do not know like any sort of combination. When I come to fighting games and so on, I'm the button masher. And what happens, happens. And don't blame me if I win, because I have no clue how I won it. Literally, no, I do not. But anyway, I really loved and adored this track. It was nice to see her coming out so like instant on this. Considering and judging on her experience that she talked through in different interviews and so on, she had a love and adore for this. First of all, these genres that we talked about, the Japanese pop music, rock, and other genres. But one of the most inspiring things was jazz, apparently, for her. And we will get to know her a little bit more on the jazz part a little bit later. Not specifically in this episode, but we'll look at some games that had that jazz part in them. And of course, I think we're going to talk about one of them soon. So, continuing her little journey here, starting out here in 1994 already. Her time at Capcom was not short, and Akari worked on many different games during her time at Capcom. And, of course, the gamers all over the world loved and adored these type of games. But following up from her first work with the Night Warriors, we have Cyberbots Full Metal Madness, which was released on arcade. We have Street Fighter Alpha The Warrior's Dream for PS1 in 1995, Resident Evil 1 for the PS1, and the Super Puzzle Fighters 2 Turbo for the PS1 in 1996. And in 1997, we can see her work on a major OST. And here's where we're getting more of the vibe of jazz, as we're going to just say the name of Breath of Fire 3. I don't know if you guys know a lot about this game or not. I, for one, do not know a lot. I listened to some of the music and some of the tracks that she worked on. And it's so much easier to just understand a little bit more process and like reading a little bit of the ups and downs she had at Capcom. But going through the interviews surrounding this was just interesting and a little bit of insightful. But she had a lot of inspiration from jazz music while she worked on this. And as I said before, this is just like 3 years into her work at Capcom. So she was quite new still at the team. Of course, 3 years is still a long time. But considering of how many other people, for how long they've worked there, but also for how much they worked and how much more experienced they might have been, she came in kind of young into the business and had a little bit of a clash together with her superiors. But we will go through this a little bit more on the end of the episode as I have more information surrounding this. So, when it comes to Breath of Fire 3, a lot of people hold this soundtrack close in the ear, and there was a couple of years ago, they had their 20-year anniversary as well for this in 2017. But anyway, when it comes to specific OSTs that she worked and composed with, when it comes to Breath of Fire, she actually worked with composition, voiceover, and also background vocals. And for some reason, she's also credited for all instruments and words for some of the tracks that she worked on. Don't know really what that implies, but it is what it is, and it's interesting to see, in my opinion. But working on three different things within a game, it's just fun, in my opinion, especially for a new composer. Anyway, moving onward from Breath of Fire 3, in 1998, we can see that Akari is working on her first Mega Man title. And at this time, we're talking about the Mega Man and Bass title, or Bass title, for the Super Nintendo. And following up is the next track of this week, as we're going to listen to Wannabe Game from the game Trickin' Snowboarder. Snowboarder, Wannabe Game. And yeah, of course, the male voice was not the voiceover or anything, but we did have a girl voice in this, and I have no I have no idea if this is Akari Kaida's voice that we're hearing in this, but I can only guess. I mean, she's been working a little bit with voiceover and background vocals, so it shouldn't surprise me if she was the one making the voice in this track. The track is not super long. The game is also very special. It's weird reading up on this. I don't know really what to say. I was reading information about this game, watched a little bit of gameplay, and I was like, what the hell? But at the same time, it was surprising. Don't worry, I will tell you the story soon. So when we're looking at Trickin' Snowboarder here, Akari actually composed 10 tracks for this OST. Of course, the amount of tracks that she's been working on kind of grew over the time in these different games that we've seen during the years of her time at Capcom. But the rest here of the tracks, so we have 10 tracks of Akari, the rest of the tracks were composed by the Japanese Masami Ueda, who also co-composed the full OST. The game was developed by the Japanese studio Cave and were exclusively released for the PS1 in 1999. And also here, we have another alternative title here for Japan, as the title of this game was actually Tricky Sliders Freestyle Snowboard. And for some reason, it's a much better name than Trickin' Snowboarder, in my opinion. I don't know why, but Trickin' Snowboarder, I don't know, it just, first of all, it doesn't really go well off the tongue. Trickin' Snowboarder, it's like frickin' snowboarder, it's like almost like that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know why, I love Tricky Sliders even more, because you're sliding around on the snowboard, so it kind of makes sense. But I guess it was not cool enough is the word I'm looking for the Western people. But never really heard of this game until I started researching Akari here, which is also an interesting thing. So the fun trivia about this game, which really led me into the what the fuck mode on this one, is the fun trivia that the game, there is actually an edit mode on this game where you can let the player customize their own borders, clothing, and appearance. But the game also, do remember, this is a Cave game, but the game also includes unlockable characters from Resident Evil 2. So you can unlock Leon S. Kennedy, Claire Redfield, and also a zombie cop to drive around snowboarding. I mean, it's just weird, but I love it at the same time. And it looks so silly, just going around on this. So it is what it is. Don't know really what you're gonna do with this information, but I like the information, and I just thought I want to share it with you guys. But when it comes to this track, first of all, when a lot of you guys might already know, I'm not a super fan when it comes to the hip-hop or R&B kind of vibe. That's one of the reasons why we might not be listening. But this is also a great way for me to step out of my comfort zone to talk a little bit more about this. So when it comes to this, I don't know exactly, since I haven't played this game, as I said before, I didn't even know this game existed until I started researching Akari. But one of the things that I really liked about this, and I don't know for sure, but this sounded so much like a menu music. And when it comes down to this, listening to the different kind of tracks, most of them kind of have that vibe to it. Don't know if it is because of the R&B and kind of almost laid back. It felt more like, hey, we're just trying to take as much of your time as possible. We're not really doing it. We're not cool. We're not dancing or anything. We're just vibing, going back and forth like a dance battle without actual dancing. Everybody's just warming up, you know? But it has this easy vibe with easy lyrics and so on that you can hardly hear for some reason. But I really adored it for some... In one way, I liked it to the extent that it didn't rub me the wrong way, if we can say that at least. And I would say that that is great. Akari did something amazing when it comes to a certain genre that I usually don't listen to, and I just felt like, hey, this is okay, I like it. And one thing that is also good here, as we progress through the different games and so on, and we will, of course, as we go through all these different games, we'll have different genres, different styles, etc. So from the first game where we had a more of a action-y vibe, we still play a type of game where we can have action, etc. But in this time, we felt more like a launch type of music style. We had menu music. And also R&B style versus... well, whatever we had last time. I would say it's kind of more of a grungy vibe, kind of-ish. Maybe. I'm not the best, as you know, when it comes to music terms, etc. So I might just move onward rather than keep going on this. Anyway, moving onward with Akari's work instead. I think that is way more interesting than me talking to myself about different work. Anyway, next game is a game that I heard a lot about, but I actually have never played this game myself. And the game I'm talking about is Dino Crisis, this Resident Evil-esque game with dinosaurs. Don't know if that's for sure, but that's kind of how I've seen it and what I think it might be like. So if it is what it is and people say like, yeah, Dino Crisis is exactly that, then of course, good job, Chris, you did good, you know? But the game, it was released in 1999, and the following year were ported to both the Dreamcast and also PC, which is also one of the most interesting things I've heard about this game, but actually only knew it was released for PlayStation. Never really thought it was released for Dreamcast. Well, I never owned one, so I didn't know because of that, but I mean, it released on PC. I'm a PC Master Race kind of guy, even though I have a lot of consoles as well, and also love the Super Nintendo. But anyway, I had a PC, I knew a PC, but I never heard about this game on PC, which is super interesting. Anyway, after this beast, pun intended, we move over to yet another Mega Man game, but this time it is handheld, and we're talking about the Mega Man Battle Network series. This is the first game, which was released in 2001. Theoretically, it might be something else, but this is the first numbered one. So it might have released earlier with something, but this was the first Mega Man Battle Network game. We also see a full release of the Mega Man and Bass on the GBA, so that one turns handheld, which also released for the world in 2002. And also a handheld version of the Super Puzzle Fighters 2 Turbo in 2003. The next up is special, but is also an honor to a newly released TV series on Netflix, as this series is recorded and also one game that I have played. In the series, of course, because it's not just one game, it actually has multiple games, and people who've seen already the credits list on today's music already know which game I'm talking about. Yet, I do love and adore this game nonetheless, and it might always have a special place in my heart, even though I don't know it, like, in and out, but I still loved and adored it when I played it back in the day. The game I'm talking about is Onimusha 3, Demon Siege, and the track we're going to listen to is the main theme, which is also Summonuscus' theme. Fading out the epicness of this track, the main theme or Summonuscus theme from the game Onimusha 3 Demon Siege. And when it comes to Akari here, when it comes specifically to the Onimusha 3 soundtrack here, she only composed this main theme for this title. She worked this time together with, yet again, a Japanese Hideki Okugawa, which she worked on the first game, actually, that we talked about this week. But also the new, maybe she worked on another game together with him, considering that this is the Capcom sound team, of course. But anyway, don't delay anymore. Kota Suzuki. The game here was developed by the Japanese studio Capcom and released initially on PS2 in 2004, and following the year after, in 2005, it had a release on PC. And yet again, as I talked previously about this, I play this one on PC. Yes, that's it. Because I didn't really own back in the day PlayStation 2 when it was like fancy and new and so on. It actually took a lot more years before I was actually able to get a PS2. I think it was back in almost 2010 or something like that. One of the reasons why I actually got a PS2 was to purchase not Onimusha. I wish though, now that I'm thinking of it. But no, I actually got Kingdom Hearts to play that one, and never really finalized them either, so yay me. No, but when it comes to this track, I really love and adore the epicness, the style that she put into Summonuscus' theme. I'm a little bit unsure, because we are following, this is the third game in the series, of course there are some spin-offs as well, don't know if they were released in between the different Onimusha games, but we have Onimusha 1 and 2, and of course we're following Summonuscus there as well, so I'm a little bit unsure if this is a unique Summonuscus theme, specifically for this game, but might have a lot of influences from the previous games, but maybe it is a unique one, or maybe it is more of a revamped one, that where Akari made her own kind of version of Summonuscus' theme. Because this is something we've seen with Capcom previously, that they still use the same theme for characters, but they have some other composers rework them and reiterate them so characters can kind of grow together with the music connected to them. Of course, this was Summonuscus' theme, so I don't remember specifically if we're previous to listen to this music inside the game as you're playing Summonuscus, but also another character. This is Summonuscus' theme, but also in this game you have two other playable characters. But one of the biggest one, in my opinion, when it comes to this game, is that you play as the French actor Jean Reno, which is portrayed as Jacques Blanc. And Jacques Blanc is, of course, a guy from Paris, or Paris, as people say. And in this game, Summonuscus is yet again after his nemesis, the Nobunaga. And, well, in happening of fighting the Gemma, which is like the evil force in this game, not just an evil corporation, it is actually is like a spirit force that you're fighting actively and have been fighting actively during this game series. I know of the game series concept and so on, but I've only played the second and the third game, played a little bit on the second game, played the full third game, and I loved and adored it. Amazing techniques and mechanics in this game, and I just loved the intersection of actually Samon Nosuke, as he's battling Nobunaga, gets teleported. Don't really know exactly why he gets teleported, but he is getting teleported to a modern time. Well, this is the place where we meet Jax. And Jax, as is portrayed and played by the French actor Jean Reno, it's just amazing to just see, like, I know that guy! I felt so weird when I was playing the game, and all of a sudden you have this guy you know, because in all other games, the only time you can have a real portrayal of a character usually tends to be more drawn towards characters that are cartoon. Of course, you can have, like, oh, this is Indiana Jones, but doesn't really feel like Indiana Jones for some reason back in the day. Of course, when we get more better graphics and so on, it's easier to portray these things. But for me, Onimusha was the first one to really have that sort of impact on me. Like, I'm not a super fan when it comes to French movies and so on, but I've seen Jean Reno in movies before, and this was one of the reasons why it had such an impact on me when I was playing the game. And it just felt good. It's a nice battle game, not juggling style like a Devil May Cry, but still arena-based, story-based games. And you're basically going back and forth between Jax and Samon Nosuke. So Samon Nosuke will be fighting in modern times, moving around with his sword, etc., to fight off these Gemma soldiers, while Jax is fighting off in old Japan, as he's get teleported to Samonosuke's time. So he has pistols and whips and so on that he utilizes in order to survive, in order for everybody at Samonosuke and Jax to kind of come back to their own time. And as I said, it has three playable characters as well, so there are certain times where you play, if I remember correctly now, Jax's girlfriend or something similar to that, someone connected to Jax at least. And she does not have the same kind of powers as Samon Nosuke and Jax, but she still is a powerful character. So yeah, I really loved and adored this game. Highly recommend it to everybody, and I definitely also recommend, I specifically selected a track from Onimusha due to the fact that I've recently just completed watching Onimusha on Netflix. Highly recommend that series. It was really good, even though it utilizes that 3D that maybe not everybody likes when it comes to anime, but highly loved it and recommend it, definitely. Anyway, moving onwards and not talking frantically about one game. We need to close this episode as well. Not just having me talk good about one game. We have more games to talk about. We have one more track and still a lot of information to go through. So, following up, Akari here actually left Capcom in 2005. So, at the same year as we got Onimusha on PC, Akari left Capcom. And the reason why she left was actually to become a freelance. And this was at the studio Rainbow Score. And here she was a composer, lyricist, arranger, and a producer. But one of the last games that Akari worked on before leaving Capcom was Rockman EXE 4.5 Real Operation. And also the Mega Man Battle Network 5, the Team Protoman / Team Cornell, because they're two different games, just like the Pokemon games, I guess, which was released in 2004 and 2005. However, this was also far from the last work that she did for Capcom. As stated, she still worked on a lot of different Capcom, even though she was going freelance. But as I stated, it was nice going freelance, according to Kari, as the interview for the Breath of Fire 3, the 20-year anniversary, she actually stated that following the question that you, Akari, mentioned in the past that your superiors wanted to have similar style of music in the first two games, referring to Breath of Fire 1 and 2. How were you able to convince them to try something different? As I said previously, we had that jazz kind of vibe. And Akari answered that just because she was young and not that experienced, maybe I say that youthful enthusiasm got the better of me. But maybe it was just a mistake. I just did it, you know, I just kind of made that kind of music and I let them eventually get used to listening to it. Following later by this is something she follows as she went freelance. So this is a yet another quote from Akari in this interview. So, under circumstances surrounding me, Akari then, when I was trying to convince my superiors about the music, it was kind of bad. Now though, as I write music, I will never write music without consulting the director and the staff. So, considering this kind of information, we know for a fact that she had been struggling at Capcom, trying to get her own vision in front of the game and to give the games kind of her own identity and have, as we say sometimes, a composer viability to create their own kind of style for the game. But of course, when it comes to the game and what people have envisioned for it, it can definitely differ. And I've been in this situation myself as I was an audio director for the game Legends of Libra. It's like, of course, you will have some sort of a free limit for the composer, but you also kind of need to stay within limits to certain extents. And of course, this can differentiate between the vision and what the composers have in mind. So it's always best, as she stated later, that consulting with the director and staff is something to do and work with, or else it can be discussions popping up that might not be too nice. But well, it is what it is. Of course, young people are passionate, and of course they need to have their time to flourish and really have the need to get what they want out of the music and their heart, basically. But as Akari went freelance, she started focusing more on original music for both TV and film as well. And I didn't really pick up any specific list for this. It's just stated in the interviews that she was more interested in exploring these as well during this time period. So, during this time, we can also see her being credited in non-video game work. And when she is credited as these, it is either usually Akari Grooves or Akari Kaida Grooves. And this is all because of her husband, who is Australian. So she sometimes, when she composes, she goes under the Western surname of Grooves. And the following year, we can see many great titles to follow. In 2006, we have Okami, we have the Mega Man ZX advert, and also Luminous Arc in 2007. Mega Man Star Force 3, The Red Joker, and Black Ace, which was released in 2008. Walk It Out for the Wii in 2010. And finally, and the last stop for today, yet another Mega Man game. And the game specifically we're talking about here is Mega Man 10, and we're going to listen to one of the tracks that she composed for this one. It is King of Blades, Blade Man's Theme. Of course, after hearing so many times Mega Man, Mega Man, Mega Man, of course we're gonna finalize this whole freaking shebang with a Mega Man track. This was King of Blades, the Blade Man theme from Mega Man 10. And when it comes to Akari here, of course, as I said, we've been hearing so much about Mega Man games. And she have made multiple songs for multiple Mega Man games, of course, mainly from the spin-off series. But on Mega Man 10, she actually only composed this track, And one of the reasons for this is, yeah, we have a lot of classical Mega Man composers that join in on the Mega Man 10 OST. So buckle up, everybody, because now I'm going to slaughter a lot of Japanese names, because you know I'm a freaking expert at that at this point in time. So, starting out, we have the first Japanese here, Ryoyo Kawakami. We have second on Hiroki Isogai, Yu Shimoda, Manami Matsumae. Of course, we know that one, and I can't really botch that because I've said that so many times by now. Yusaki Fujita, also known as Bun Bun. I know, I remember Bun Bun more than the name on that one. Minae Fuji or Ujialin, Mari Yamaguchi, Yuko Takehara, Makoto Tomosawa, Shushaku Uchiyama, and Ippo Yamada. So there's a lot of people that are credited for this game. It feels like almost there's one, it's almost one composer for each freaking track, and then somebody else got the honor to do the wider stages, you know? Something like that. Maybe a Proto Man track somewhere I saw. Proto Man is in this game as well, of course. I don't know. I'm sorry, but I really don't know the specifications on this. I know this one released. It has more of a vibe to the old, nice, neat Mega Man that we all love and adore. People know for a fact that I love and adore Mega Man music as well, but I'm much more drawn towards the Super Nintendo, the Mega Man X series music, than I am for the original Mega Man music. Even though the original Mega Man music is really great, and it has such a great vibe, always playful with the tones and the melodies, and I just love and adore that. Anyway, the game here was co-developed by two Japanese studios. We have Inti Creates and Capcom. The game was released as a digital download on PS3, Wii, and the Xbox 360 in 2010. And yeah, just love and adore this one. I don't really have any specifics like, oh, I think she had a reference for this and that. But for some reason, even though this is a newer modern game, it is done like the new retro kind of style. So we have old, but on a new console. But one thing I really love and adore when I listen to this track, if for some reason I really do get the Turtles tracks, the original NES Turtles games, is like, for some of the more downward parts that we just listened to here in the background, not specifically now, but just right before, like, scroll back 10 seconds or something like that, it gave me a really hard, like, Turtles vibe to it. But now as we listen to these higher tones, it really gives off the Mega Man vibe again. For some reason, when it comes to Mega Man, having like a great hectic style in the melody, it really helps out. And you also have these high tones. It really differentiates, and I have already put a great personality onto the Mega Man name and music when composing. And it's so much fun to see all these different composers still having a great take on Mega Man music, and they're doing it right. So I definitely just love and adore. When it comes to Mega Man music, it is usually just very thorough in how it's created and how it's portrayed. And also, might be one of the best reasons why I love and adore it so much. Might be just that. So, as we're getting to the end of the episode here as well, we're going to end a little bit more on where we have Akari today. So, just to point out, this was not the last VGM work that Akari did. We did not start, like, go to the straight ending here, as one of the reasons why I couldn't go to straight ending was that I could not really find any specific tracks that she made and worked on the last games that she's credited in. So that is one of the issues I had. I definitely wanted to pick a track from the last game because it had so much great tracks. But since I didn't know which one was specifically Akari's, I had no reason, because I didn't want to pick the wrong one and talk well about it, you know? So it's better go safe than sorry in this case. So, as you continue to work on newer games, both as composed and also arranged tracks here, in 2014 she worked with arrangements for the Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. She worked on the Earth Defense Force Iron Rain in 2019, Samurai Jack Battle Through Time, and Earth Defense Force World Brothers in 2020. And lastly, the last game that she is currently credited on is DC Superhero Girls Teen Power. So Yeah, it's quite a credit line here. So in total, we can see Akari Kaida's name in 30 unique games, and also including with re-releases, ports, and such. We're able to see her name in a total of 48 credits to date. It is so much fun, though, to see that she is seemingly still active. She's just have not had any work done in video game music in the last 2 years. She might be working on something. I do not know specifically any information about that. But it seems like she's still active in this Rainbow Score studio, where she works as a composer, lyricist, arranger, and producer. This is for sure true, as I've looked through and looked through social media, and she's referring to the homepage of Rainbow Score. So that seemed to still be a thing. And of course, when it comes to Rainbow Score, everything is Japanese and so on. Hard for me to understand everything since I don't read or write Japanese. But we can only guess that as she was going freelance, she wanted to focus more on movies and TV series as well, and not just for video game music. I can only like fantasize about that. Yeah, assume that she is working with those things that she loves and adore, and it seems so. I mean, all the pictures I've seen where she goes to events and so on, she's so happy, she's around with friends and so on. It seems like she's really having the time of her life, and I freaking love that. I'm looking forward to listen to more of Akari's work in the future. Maybe not just in video, video games. Maybe I will go in and look up some of her work for movies and TV series as well. Maybe there are some animes that she worked on that I can go and listen to, and even maybe get some good references to listen to or watch some anime as well. Never know. That's the good thing about when it comes to music, that they can really just draw you in different experience, etc. So I don't really know where I might end up. Anyway, this is the end of this episode. It was really nice going through Akari, and I only wish her the best. So if she ever listens to this episode for any sort of reason, thank you so much for creating such an amazing music. And for everybody else, if you want to listen to more of Gameable Audio, as we have many more episodes, not just as Gameable Audio, but also before we rebranded this whole podcast, there's still tons of episodes that you can listen to, me going through different composers, talking to guests, and also just talking to myself about the games I love and adore as well. You'll find all the episodes of Gameable Audio on our homepage, videospelsklubben.se. You find us also on Spotify or in your closest podcast app. Feel free to follow and also comment on one of our social medias, either on Facebook or on Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio. Just to have one thing said as well, I've started to create a new little community on Discord surrounding the podcast, my streaming, and everything else with game development and so on that I do. So if you want to join in, there will be a temporary link, as I cannot make these infinite time links yet, but there will be a 30-day link in the link of the main post of videospelsklubben.se. So if you're interested in talking more to me, if you don't want to just go through the comments fields, etc., on the social media, if you have Discord, just join in and let's have chat, share some music, also data live pictures and so on, you know. Never know what will happen. It's a lot of different things. But also, if you loved the work that I do on these episodes, you can also support this podcast for future content upgrades, quality upgrades, etc. But also in the end, when I don't need any more money for the podcast and so on, everything else will go into future composers. So think about becoming a Patreon. And our current backers that we do have today, till date, is Daniel Unomark, Lars Schenström, Titti Schenström, Kevin Wikström, and Mike Björkholm. Thank you so much for being part of supporting my work that I do with this podcast. Links to where you can either buy or support Akari in this for who was behind all the music that we'll listen to this episode, you will find these in our main post at videospelsklubben.se. And for the next episode, we're going to talk to yet another, not two, but about another a female composer. So it's going to be a composer special on Yuka Watanabe on the next one. I'm just super excited for this one as well, as I've had her name written up for quite some time. And one of the main reasons why I'm basically doing this now in November is mostly or because there have been some talks on social media, in this case it was Twitter or X, about female composers. And I just thought that, like, what the heck? I have the power to do whatever I want with my podcast, so let's actually make a month where we focus entirely on female composers, give them a little bit more of the spotlight. And of course, if you are a female composer that either work with a soundtrack, a video game music soundtrack, or something that is close connected, you make covers or anything, feel free to contact me on social media and let's hook up and talk a little bit more about your work. Of course, we're going to have as much notice and share of female composing work as possible during November, and of course continuously over the course of time as I will be doing this podcast, because I'm just interested to talk more about the composers and how everybody works. Basically, it's always fun, and I know everybody who's listening to this podcast is kind of happy not listening to me all the time, I guess. Anyway, the podcast theme here was also composed by the amazing Thor Myrdal, so big thanks as always. And with that said, yeah, this was Gameable Audio, your VGM podcast, and this was episode 22. I am your host, Christopher Quinstrom, and thank you so much for listening. See you all, guys, next time.